Let us open our scriptures to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter. We'll begin reading at verse 40. That should be verse 40 to the end of this chapter. We have begun a series on this Gospel of Mark. At least we began after the Advent Christmas season. We've come now to Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. If anybody is wondering, what about some of those verses in between? Because the last time we were together, I preached on Jesus casting out the demon from the demon-possessed man in the synagogue of Capernaum. And then it speaks about the healing of Simon's wife's mother and some other verses there. I did preach on that around the Advent season. You might remember answering the question, why did Christ come? And that is explained in verse 38, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. So this morning, Mark 1, verse 40 to 45, which will also be the text for the preaching. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Thus far the reading of our scripture and the text too for this morning's sermon. Dear flock of Dundas, it's a privilege to be washed and cleansed. Who would not want that? After a long, hard day at work with dirt and grime maybe sticking to our bodies, to take a shower or a bath and to be made clean. We often take that privilege for granted and we forget that there are people living in slums who don't have clean running water in which to wash and to be made clean. We need washing. We need cleansing. But not just physically, especially spiritually. But how does that happen? And what's the way that the Lord does this? And that is told us in the passage before us this morning. It tells us of the cleansing of the leper. That's our theme for this morning, the cleansing of the leper. See, first of all, a loathsome condition. Secondly, a humble petition. Thirdly, a gracious salvation. And fourthly, a surprising instruction. The cleansing of the leper, first of all, a loathsome condition. Secondly, a humble petition. Thirdly, a gracious salvation. And fourthly, a surprising instruction. Yes, Mark has taken up his pen and by the Holy Spirit has begun to write his gospel account, setting forth the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is so much in this opening chapter that really should leave us astounded and amazed. Who is this Jesus? I mean, there he came into the synagogue in Capernaum, where was a demon-possessed man, and the Lord Jesus expelled that demon. Cast him out with power. After that, he went to heal Simon's mother-in-law, yes, who is this Jesus and what does he do? And can he do everything? And can he heal lepers too? Well, a leper presents himself to Jesus in our passage. Who is he? We don't know much about him. We don't know his name. We don't know his age. But he's a leper. And a leper is someone with a loathsome condition. True, there were different conditions that lepers could be in, some better, some worse, but leprosy was a horrible sickness. Let me say three things about it. For one thing, it was a visible disease. It was a visible disease. You couldn't hide it. It was a skin disease. There are other diseases too, like a heart disease, or kidney disease, or gallbladder disease, which are real diseases, having real effects. But looking at a person with a heart disease, you can't see that disease. But leprosy is a disease that you can see on the skin. Spots would break out on the skin of the victim. They would become scabs, and sooner or later, the whole body would be covered with this leprosy. It would eat away at the skin and at the flesh under the skin, and parts of the body would become deformed. And it happened that parts of the body would even fall off, like fingers, a nose, ears, and feet. How it all happened in this man's case, we don't know. How it was that he began to see that first white spot on his skin, or blister, or scab, we're not told. But he couldn't hide it. And such a person who had such spots or scabs forming on his skin had to go to the priest. And a priest would diagnose him. And this man had to face up to it that he was a leper, and that meant, secondly, that he would be ostracized. That's the second thing. It was an ostracizing disease. He would be cut off from his community. He would be shut out of his own house. He would be cut off from his father and mother, or his wife, if he had one, or children. He had to go out of town. It's hard for us to imagine. But this man would be shunned. He could have no contact with others, except other lepers. You see, he was unclean. And then God had said in Leviticus 13, verse 45 and 46, that a leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days are in the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. Imagine. Imagine having a disease like this and being ostracized and seeing people cross to the other side of the street and having people run away from you, seeing this man approaching with rent clothes, a covering over his upper lip, and hearing his voice crying, unclean, unclean. And the worst part of this disease was not just that it was visible, not just that it was ostracizing, but it was incurable. It was incurable. The priest could diagnose a leper. The priest could determine whether someone had this disease. The priest could pronounce him unclean, but he could not make him clean. He could not cure him. He could not cleanse him. Now, perhaps there were times when this disease went into remission. I don't know. But that's not how it is with this man. Luke tells us in his gospel account that he is full of leprosy. So he has an advanced case of this disease. His case is a desperate case. He's full of leprosy. And when we hear this description this morning, dear congregation, and we see this leper presenting himself to the Lord Jesus this morning, we have here a description of you and me as people with a loathsome condition. Maybe physically we are well. Maybe we are a sign of health. But spiritually, we have a loathsome condition of sin. As Isaiah 1 verse 6 pictures it, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And when an Israelite would hear this description, he thought of the leper. And that's what we are. This, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, full of leprosy on the inside. If we had a mirror, I mean a special mirror, that would not only show us our hair and our face and our eyes, but that would show us our souls, we would be embarrassed. We would be ashamed. Because if instead of being spiritually whole and spiritually well, we have a terrible disease within. It's worse than Ebola. It's worse than meningitis. It's worse than a coronary artery disease. We are spiritually lepers. That describes you. That describes me by nature. I know we can be blinded to it. And we can try to cover it up from others. But it's inside of us, and it infects us, and it spreads. Even while we may think wrongly that we can stop with sin, and we try to stop with sin, and we resolve to do better, if we look into the spiritual mirror, we should be horrified because of not just what others are on the inside, but because of what I am on the inside, because of sin. Friends, have you ever seen it? This loathsome disease inside of you. Have you seen something of it that's troubled your conscience, that you felt dirty, that you say with David in Psalm 38, who is uncovered by his spiritual leprosy too, that he says, his spiritual leprosy, that he says, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. Yes, have you ever seen that and humbled yourself by the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, uncovered by the Spirit through God's Word to your loathsome condition on the inside? Have you seen it maybe for the first time this past week? Or again? And you're troubled. You feel the wickedness of your heart, the loathsomeness of the spiritual leprosy that hasn't gotten better. It's only gotten worse. But is there no one who can help? Yes, there is. And that's why we hear a humble petition in our second point. Yes, this leper, he knows where to go. To Jesus. He has heard of Jesus. People were speaking about this Jesus. Mark 1 verse 28. This chapter tells us that his fame spread abroad, spread throughout all the region round about Galilee, and somehow that report, or bits and pieces of that report, had made its way to the lepers. God saw to it that the outcasts of Israel could hear this message too, how he healed the sick, how he cast out devils. And it must have stirred up hope in this leper's heart that maybe this Jesus can heal me of my leprosy. Yes, it stirred up hope in his heart. And it set him in action. He had not only heard of Jesus, he came to Jesus. Yes, he came to Jesus with all his fears, with all his doubts. True, but he came to Jesus. He doesn't stay in the leper colony saying to himself, I know that Jesus can heal me, but I don't know if he's willing to heal me. There's a possibility that he'll say no to me, so I won't bother going to him. I'll just stay away. I have to stay away, don't I? I'm not welcome in the presence of others of the community, am I? No, this leper does not draw that conclusion. He cannot stay away. He must go to Jesus. Having heard of Jesus, he comes to Jesus. And John 6 will explain it later on, that the Father is at work to draw him. But friends, you get the point. That even if you are loathsome, even if the law accuses you and your conscience troubles you, let the things that you hear about Jesus draw you to Jesus. Even with your questions, with your doubts, with your fears, with your troubles. Yes, let him come to Jesus. And he not only has heard of Jesus and comes to Jesus, he prays to Jesus. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And it's clear that he is convinced of several things about the Lord Jesus. For one thing, he's convinced of the glory of the Lord Jesus. He's convinced of the glory of the Lord Jesus, for he bowed before Jesus. He kneeled down before Jesus. Luke says he fell on his face before Jesus. It's a confession of Jesus' worthiness and this leper's own unworthiness. That the Lord Jesus is not just an equal, but someone who is higher and greater than him, that it's fitting to fall down before him. Feeling your smallness and your sinfulness, convinced of his greatness and glory. After all, the Lord Jesus is not just a man, but the God-man. He's a divine person who can do for others what we can't do for ourselves, and so he's convinced of the glory of the Lord Jesus, but secondly, also of the ability of the Lord Jesus, of the ability of Jesus. It's true. He doesn't know if the Lord Jesus is willing to heal him, but he is sure that the Lord Jesus is able to heal him. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. No, there is no one else who can heal him. He knows he can't make himself clean. He knows that his father and mother cannot make him clean. His loved ones can't. The priests at the temple can't. But he believed Jesus could heal him, and Jesus could make him whole again. It's a confession of the ability of the Lord Jesus. He's convinced not only of the glory of Jesus, but the ability of Jesus, that nothing is too hard for him to do, that his hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, Isaiah 59 verse 1, that he is able to save to the uttermost, Hebrews 7 verse 25. Maybe that's what you need to hear this morning. Of his ability to heal. That Mark 2 in the next section, verse 10, will say that the Son of Man hath power on earth. There is nothing too hard for the Lord Jesus. There's the ability of Jesus. Thirdly, he is convinced not only of the glory of Jesus, the ability of Jesus, but thirdly, convinced of the sovereignty of Jesus. If thou wilt. What does he mean with that? Isn't this a confession, at least, that the Lord Jesus is not obliged to heal him. The Lord Jesus doesn't owe it to him. After all, the Lord Jesus doesn't heal everyone that is sick. And does he not? Did he not in that sermon in Nazareth, in his hometown, preach and say that there were many lepers in the time of Elisha the prophet, but none of them were cleansed but Naaman, the Syrian? The sovereignty of Jesus. Yes, it's clear that this leper is willing to be healed, but he wonders if Jesus is willing to heal him. But whatever the will of Jesus is, he's willing to surrender to that will of Jesus. And you see the point here, friends, that we don't just wake up one day and decide to become Christians. We don't just wake up one day and decide to get cleansed, as if we can make the decision of ourselves. We need to reckon with what Paul would later on write in Romans 9, so that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Your only hope for salvation, friends, lies in the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus, the sovereignty of God. You can't just sit here with the thought, well, Pastor, one day I'll make a decision. One day I'll make a choice. One day, maybe on my deathbed, I'll seek the Lord and I'll be saved. No. It is if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This is a real thing. This is an experiential thing. This is what many troubled souls think and feel when they're coming to the Lord Jesus, convinced of the loathsomeness of their own soul, convinced of the ability of Jesus, but they're doubting and afraid. Yes, that maybe he doesn't want to heal them and cleanse them and save them. Have you never had such doubts? Never had such fears? Oh, how tenderly he comes in the gospel. How tenderly he comes with promises. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How tenderly he promises, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have these fears. You're troubled in your life. You're wondering if he's willing to heal you and save you. But do you take your fears to him? Do you take your need to him? Do you take your sin to him? Do you take your need for cleansing to Jesus? Yes, it's cleansing that this man asks for. Thou canst make me clean. Friends, isn't that the most important thing? Not our bodily healing, but our spiritual cleansing. That's what we need. The Lord may choose to restore us if we are sick. He may choose to heal us of cancer. But that isn't the most important thing. We need our souls washed. And should we not apply to Jesus with David's prayer, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." But is he willing? Am I a fitting candidate for the grace and compassion of Jesus? There are others who I think are better candidates than me. There are others who are more important than me. There are others who have not sinned in as foul ways as I have sinned. But friends, whatever his answer, let us not keep back from Jesus. Let it not be a reason for delay. For what if delay turns into regret? No, I'd rather come to Jesus. I'd rather come to his feet and cast myself at his feet. If he is not willing to cleanse me, he will have to say it himself. He will have to tell me himself. But I will lay at his feet. Do you understand this humble petition? Convinced of your own lack of power. Convinced of your own rebellious will even, knowing that you can't decide to follow Jesus, that you will decide to be saved, but confessing that rebellious will to him, a will that loves sin, a will that's corrupt, but going to him with the sin of our heart and with the foulness of our soul and the corruption of our will, saying, Lord, my salvation can't depend upon my decision, but if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And then we see a gracious salvation. Our third point, a gracious salvation. What does Jesus do? Will he send this man away? Will he say, get out of the camp. You don't belong here. That's what the law said. Will he turn away at the sight of this leper? No. What then? We hear of four things. For one thing, we hear of his compassion. His compassion, verse 41. And Jesus moved with compassion. That's quite a word. Our world has no compassion like this. Our world has bitterness. Our world has anger. Our world can look down on others with scorn. But Jesus has compassion like none else. He has compassion for such a wretch. Here is a special word. Here is the same word that's used of the father of the prodigal son who, when he sees his father is filled with compassion. He's inwardly moved with compassion. Jesus sees this man in his wretchedness and in his helplessness and in his weakness, and he isn't filled with anger. There are things, no doubt, that made him angry. But when a poor sinner is before him, there is no anger in his heart. Then he isn't cold, he isn't callous. He's moved with compassion. Here's love, here's compassions, here are compassions that fail not. As Lamentations 3 verse 22 says, there is his compassion. Secondly, there is his touch. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. You didn't do that with a leper. People always turned away from a leper. If he was a son, his parents could not shake his hands. If he was married, his wife could not embrace him. But this man now feels the hand of Jesus touch him. The Lord Jesus didn't have to touch him. He could have just spoken the word and this man would have been healed. He could have healed him without touching him, but he was willing to stoop down, willing to bend down, willing to remove the distance and say, I've come to have dealings with you and sinners like you. And it speaks of his tenderness. Oh, the tenderness of Jesus. He's, yes, full of glory. And he's full of ability. And there's his sovereignty, but there's also his mercy, his tender mercy that reaches out his hand to touch the leper. And thirdly, there is his willingness. He says, I will. I am willing. It's his pleasure. It's his delight to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. He is more willing to cleanse foul sinners like you and I than we are willing to be cleansed by him. It's his good pleasure to show mercy to those who cast themselves on his mercy. Here is proof. John 6 verse 35 says that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Have you also found that? Have you also discovered that? That he is a willing Savior and an able Savior. The fourth thing that's told us is his power. He speaks a command. Be thou clean. And it happened. Not just gradually or slowly, but immediately. Not 1 second later, verse 42, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. The sores disappear, the nerves recover, the feeling comes back again, the pain is gone. That must have been something for him to look at his hands and to see his skin the way that it should be. Because of Christ's word of power. Yes, that's it. His word of power, as Ecclesiastes 8 verse 4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. It's the word of Christ, the king, that speaks. And that's how he still comes and reveals himself in the gospel to sinners who are filthy, to sinners who are guilty, to sinners who are lepers in heart and mind and will and life, who have to confess their uncleanness. He shows compassion. He shows compassion. And there's his touch. And the touch by the gospel whereby he comes to you in your need and in your loathsome disease from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. He comes and he cleanses. And he's willing to cleanse. And he's able to cleanse. And he gives it by his word and spirit through the gospel. Have you come to him for cleansing? Or are you still trying to cleanse yourself by your obedience? Trying to do better, trying to be better by the law? But that won't work. Romans 8 verse 3 says, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And it's his grace that he loves to show whereby he cleanses you and renews your heart and forgives your sin. And while God's people struggle with indwelling sin and will till the day of their death before the tribunal of God, those who believe in Jesus are forgiven. There is now no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And he will present you faultless before his presence. And he will make those who trust in him to appear without spot and wrinkle before his throne because of his forgiving and cleansing mercy, for which cause he had to go to the cross. Yes, he had to go to the cross so that he would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Isaiah 53 says, cut off out of the land of the living, bearing the iniquity of a leprous and guilty people out of compassion. And he comes in the gospel. And he has a gracious salvation to give young people, boys and girls. And he applies it to the heart. And there you may be this morning. As the hymn writer says, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. But then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. A Savior with compassion, who sees your despair, and his heart is moved with pity. He knows the questions and riddles in your life. He knows your doubts and fears. But whoever you are, whatever you've done, you take refuge to him. He stretches out his hand. He's prepared to take our uncleanness. He's prepared to touch us in the gospel and cleanse us. And make us clean within as the compassionate, willing, and able Savior. And then lastly, there is surprising instruction. Yes, he was healed. He was healed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He was thoroughly and completely cleansed. And then Christ gave surprising instruction. In verse 44, he commanded him to show himself to the priest. He commands him to go through the cleansing ceremonies there at the temple, the cleansing ceremonies as set forth in Leviticus 14. He's sending him to the temple, to his father's house. When the Lord cleanses, then he points us to his word, and he brings us to his house. And where his people meet and where he wants us to meet with him. And he wants to teach us more. Yes, that's at least what we can say. He points a people whom he cleanses to his word and to his house. But we can say more. Christ's words here in sending this man to the priest and to the temple and to offer the sacrifices that Moses called for, it shows that Christ had not come to destroy the law but to fulfill it, Matthew 5, verse 17 to 20. Not until the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and the rending of the veil would the Old Testament ceremonial law be fulfilled. And so the Lord Jesus sends this man to the temple priest, to the sons of Aaron, to let them know that there was someone in the land who could cleanse and heal lepers, that there is a Savior in the land of the most vile and loathsome sinners. But you see that the cleansing by Jesus is in accordance with the law. Christ's cleansing is in accordance with the law. The pardon that Christ merited is in according to justice. The debt has been paid. God's justice is satisfied. And so he is, God is just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. And so this man must go to the temple. And I know it doesn't describe all the ceremonies, but if you read Leviticus 14, it tells us the ceremonies. And it would mean that in order to purify him, the priest would see to it that two birds were taken. One would be killed under running water. Yes, killed, a sign that a price had to be paid. And the blood from that bird would be sprinkled on the leper. The second bird would be dipped in the blood and water, and the priest would go into the field with the leper. And let the bird loose, and the restored leper could watch that living bird flap its wings and fly away. He was free. And as the bird flew away, maybe what would come into his mind is, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And then the cleansed leper had to wait 7 more days. He was to wash himself, bathe himself. 3 offerings were to be brought. Blood would be applied and oil would be applied to his right ear, to his right thumb, and to his right big toe. lessons in justification and lessons in sanctification. Yes, that would impact your hearing. You would begin to listen to His Word in a way that you'd never listened before. After all, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And your hand, yes, that thumb, and your hand is consecrated, and you don't want to sin with your hands anymore. If you've stolen, let Him steal no more. But that hand, it goes open in love. And your feet, yes, the toe of your foot, are you standing for your whole foot, that they would be swift and beautiful for Him, walking in His ways, running in the way of His commandments. Yes, it's instructing in justification and sanctification that should lead to the cleansed soul saying, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. But for that we need the Holy Spirit, yes, the oil of the Spirit and the washing in blood. And now what did the leper do? We actually don't know if the leper went to the priests as Jesus commanded him. It doesn't say. But he couldn't keep his mouth shut. After all, Jesus had said, see, thou say nothing to any man. What does he do? Instead, he began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. And there were reasons why Jesus said this. For now it must be quiet. Later on it must maybe published. But before we fault this man, maybe we would do well to examine our own hearts and lives to see if we always obey His commands. And how often do we not err on the other side? He may be said too much. How often don't we say too little? But this much is clear, that while this healed leper was spreading it abroad, Jesus could no longer go openly into the city. We meet Him at the end of this chapter without, in desert places. Someone said, the leper and the Lord traded places. The leper could go into the city. Jesus had to go out of the city into deserted places to show that He takes the place of lepers. He had to go outside the camp so that sinners could come into the city, the heavenly city, have our sins forgiven, enjoy fellowship with God again through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, friends, have you been washed? Have you been cleansed? Boys and girls, have you been washed in Jesus? Has He washed you? You know what it is to feel dirty on your body. Do you know what it is to feel dirty in your soul? Do you know what it is to feel dirty on the outside? Do you also know what it is to feel dirty on the inside? Boys and girls, where do you go? What do you do? Young people, what do you do? Do you know this experience of coming to the Lord Jesus as a foul, wretched sinner, drawn in love, calling to Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And in answer to that call, He touches in the gospel and He cleanses you in His blood. Why not? Why wouldn't you be cleansed? After all, there is a fountain that is filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty sin stains. The vilest leper listening to my voice today can be forgiven. Or do you think that you'll be cleansed some other way? Are you waiting maybe till you're better? If you wait till you're better, you will never come at all. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How do I know that? When I go to Him, I will be cleansed because He has never said no. He has never said to the house of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. You may come with the plague of your heart, the law condemning you, with your clothes torn up, your righteousness as filthy rags. And at the cross of Jesus, there is cleansing for all manner of sin. And I need to go every day again, till that day when I will be saved to sin no more. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O most good-doing and gracious Lord, what great compassion and rich grace Thou dost display in the gospel, that if all of us this morning, seeing something of our foul and loathsome condition, coming to Thee in all simplicity of faith, beseeching Thee for mercy, find a full salvation and a gracious Savior who is willing and able to cleanse and forgive and make us whiter than the snow. Lord, there are some, maybe there are many, could it be that there would be all in the secrets of their hearts saying, Lord, I need it too. And that Thou would show Thyself the willing Savior, able to save unto the uttermost too. Bless Thy word. Help us in our meditating on it. Feed us with the bread of life today. And grant that in our homes and families and also alone, we may seek Thee, meditate on Thee and Thy great goodness to the children of men. Pardon our sins, Lord, in preaching and in listening, for Jesus' sake. Amen.